It's 27 minutes to 12, a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren. And time's just flying by, isn't it?
It is, Darren. And I want to spend some time with our next guest. And a guest is probably not the right word, but I put it in that context for our listeners. The next person that we want to have a really good conversation with is a very, very good friend, has been, is, and will always be a very, very good friend, a marvellous business person, a great contributor to our community, and I'm really blessed that he's in the studio with us today. Barkus, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, if I can just tell our listeners, Barkus and I go back probably 40-odd years as a student. I was very fortunate to have the privilege of teaching Barkus. We taught geography, I think it was year 9 or 10, and we went through that time, and I guess when we shook hands in the playground to say, well, best wishes with your life, we never thought we would come back together, and honestly, it's a real privilege to have you here today.
Thank you very much, Jim.
You have an amazing story to tell. You left school and you pursued a very hard career in terms of academic stuff, but have built up a successful business. Tell us about that part of your journey so far.
I decided I wanted to work for myself, and I set up an accounting practice named Makara & Co. in Parramatta in the CBD there, because I love to help others, with their financial build up of wealth and help them with their tax compliance issues and stuff like that. So.
And you are a registered CPA and all
yes,
of that. So,
yes.
I mean, what I'm saying
Member
is...
Member of the CPA, yes.
Yes. We're talking about a very talented person who's built up an incredible practice over years. You finish your studies, you continue to build your business, and you get married to a beautiful person, and you have children. Tell us about that part of your journey.
I've got three children. They've grown quite fast. Andrew's age 12, and Simon 15, and Stephanie 17.
Amazing how quick that's gone in terms of doing that. So in the midst of building a very successful business, being on council, helping myriads and many, many, many charities within your own faith, within your own church, within your own community, you have three beautiful children that you spend a lot of time, so critical to you. One day, you wake up and something happens.
Yes, Jim. Happened slowly over time. Pain in my left leg. With time, there was a bone cyst which ended up growing to be a tumour. And that tumour grew from 2 centimetres to about 35 centimetres, literally eating the bone away. At the time, I thought we could treat that tumour. And it was quite a difficult challenge during that period of time because it sort of lost a lot of weight. I sort of wasn't able to walk as much and stand as much. So it was a quite painful experience.
And if I could just tell our listeners, Darren, Barkus was an incredible athlete, still is an incredible athlete, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I had a black belt in karate at only 17 or 18 at that stage. Incredible versatility in the physical sense. And you get this situation with a tumour on your leg. How old were you then? What was it?
I was probably in my 30s when it happened. It's difficult too when you're quite active and you love your sports, and all of a sudden you're lucky if you could be able to walk up a flight of stairs or even stand. It's quite difficult.
And that's what I wanted to ask you about, without being too invasive, but for our listeners to understand, you're a very intelligent person. Did you find a time when you think this is not right, there's something definitely wrong, and you scared you?
Definitely. Privately?
Yes,
definitely I knew something was not right, and even friends would see me and say, well, you look not well, you look sick, you're skinny and your face is white and you just don't seem...
And did you just put that down to work? Working really hard?
I knew they had some issue with the leg there, but I was hoping that that would go away somehow with treatment, but unfortunately that didn't happen.
So we know it didn't go away?
No.
And what did that mean for you, and what was the next steps that you had to take to survive?
Okay, when it was eventually diagnosed as a form of bone cancer, rare form of bone cancer called a chondrosarcoma, to my shock and surprise, the doctor said to me I had a few months to live, and that was quite difficult to take. And I had really not much choice. It's either amputate, which would possibly give you a 30% chance of survival, or lose your life. So I thought, you know, doctor, please save my leg if you could, but it wasn't going to happen. So I had to eventually have the leg amputated all the way from the hip. So I lost all three limbs, and it was quite difficult physically and as a mental challenge. People don't realise that you have to overcome quite a bit of an adversity. You've got to challenge yourself mentally as well to try and overcome this issue. I think that's the biggest challenge, and also knowing the fear of the unknown. You know, where are you going to wake up next tomorrow and know that you've got a few more days to live? So that's always in the back of your mind. When's my time up? Because I think I was fortunate, because most people who had my type of cancer didn't really last some weeks, months, and less than a year. So in that sense, it's always on the back of your mind, and there are some quite challenges that you have to deal with.
So I was just going to say, that's 9 years ago and you managed to get over those adversities. Can you share just a little bit in those early months and years after the amputation, and how you just managed to recover from that and be as active as you are now? And we'll talk about more about your current activities in a moment too.
I just decided to take each day as it comes. I'm generally a very positive person. When I was in hospital getting rehabilitation, there was a lot of people around me who were always worse off. Some would never get out of a wheelchair or out of bed. And those who were treated for strokes and other amputations. So I felt blessed in some ways. And I always believe there's always someone worse off than yourself. So I didn't feel sorry for myself, but I thought I've really got to get out there and change my life, if not to challenge myself, but to maybe inspire others to do the same when faced with adversity, because it is a challenge in many aspects. But I still believe that with hope and courage having some good friends and family around you, there's always that hope of fighting the challenge that you have to deal with, whatever it is.
And listeners, I want you to understand that we've got a young man, a very active man, and an incredible person. Barkus, where did they take your leg from, so people get a visual image?
I had because they were scared that they don't want to leave any form of cancer cells lying around there, so they had to amputate all the way to the hip. And as a result of that, I was told I'd be on crutches and potentially a wheelchair for the rest of my life. Would probably never walk again. And I'm not the type of person that likes to hear no or you can't do it, because I like to compete with myself. And in that sense, I think, well, 99.9% of those who lose their leg to the hip are either in a wheelchair or on crutches, and I thought that's not going to be me.
Tell me, how did you, and I hope this is not bring back too much sensitivity, how did you tell your wife and children? How did that come about? Was that a moment?
It was a difficult moment at the time.
Can you share that with us a little bit? I mean, I'm looking at your eyes and they tell a story, and of course they're even telling more of a story now, listeners, about that. But I mean...
Well, it was difficult, especially also I have a twin brother who... he was there
Sarkis
at the time. Yeah, Sarkis, you know.
I know Sarkis, yep.
And telling your mum, so it was quite difficult, and Dad. And fortunately, I had good support around with the family and friends. It was really all up to me, I guess, to... to be positive, really, in the midst of sort of negativity around you. One can only try to be positive.
And you could jump into that, because that's a pretty justifiable reason, have a dirty with life, all of this type of stuff and so on. You're an incredible person. Here's the... We're going to go to a break, because, sorry, Darren, our producer, we're pretty live in this audience.
We've got so much to talk about, and I know we need to get to that.
Sure.
But if you may, just as we lead into the break, just lead us into the break, Jim.
Well, I want to talk about what you're doing going forward to help others. In this time of COVID, in this time of challenges in business and so on, you found time to do an amazing event for Jeans for Jeans, and I want to talk about that and see if we can get behind it to help you achieve your goal for other people.
Excellent, great.
Alive 90.5.
It's 11 minutes to 12. Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Absolutely delighted to have in his studios Barkis Makari, a very good friend and a person who inspires me to understand more of the things that I do and helps me understand to continue the great work that I do, I believe, and Darren, and also what Barkis does for other people. In the first part of our interview, we heard about Barkis's development and his business and all of these wonderful things that have helped him be who he is today. Tragedy takes place, and instead of jumping in a hole, so to speak, he goes forward. So much forward that he decides to help charities. He's been Deputy Lord Mayor of Parramatta. He's done so many things and now has taken on an incredible challenge. And in fact, I'm absolutely blown away about you raising $50,000. I only spoke to you last week and it was at a particular amount. Now it's nearly $35,000. Tell us about what's inspired you and what you're doing with able body or against able body people.
Thanks, Jim. I'm competing in a fitness challenge against about 40 able members of the gym. And at the time, I thought I'd challenge myself. And it just came out as an idea. I thought, well, what good can come out of it other than trying to beat these other competitors? And at that time, I thought, why not try and raise some money for children's medical research into cancer, because it's just such a good cause, and I'm really passionate about helping children doing it tough in that situation. Also,
yeah, but aren't you doing it tough?
Look, every day is a challenge, Jim. I can't say it's not a challenge, but I think it's more about when you doing it tough and you are going through challenges, the most fulfilling item in my life, I feel, is to give back. And that's probably one of the words I would like to spread. If you're doing it tough, you're going through difficult challenges, depression, anxiety, then go out and help others, and that will help help you help yourself. So that's sort of what I feel is part of my life, by getting out there and helping those in need. And it's difficult for children where they may lose a limb. That's quite hard, because even after you lose a limb, there's other challenges like phantom pain, which I tend to get quite often, and it's quite excruciating pain. But having said that, if we can raise enough money to for the research into preventing children losing limbs, I think is really a great cause, and I'm really passionate about it.
And you met an angel. You met someone that even continued to give you greater inspiration. Tell us about Dr. Darla Poser.
Yes, I met him at the Children's Medical Research Institute, and we were just having a chat, and he mentioned to me that they're looking into research and they may be able to help save children's limbs from being amputated. And I was actually just shocked and surprised at the time, and I was actually excited at the same time, and I wanted to be part of that, and if I could help in any way, and thus working on this sort of challenge to raise money so we can make that dream come alive and help those in need. Because, I mean, cancer not only affects the person who gets the cancer, it's, you know, the parents there, they're there with their children, and the financial consequences as well. So it's quite difficult for a lot of families.
I can't thank you enough, Darren, and I can't thank you enough for sharing that with us and to have that grunt or that guts, to use a colloquial endearing term to you, to get above your own world to help others. And listeners, Barker shared with us before, he has three children as well, so not only helping the others is amazing. I want our listeners to know, 6-week fitness challenge, tell us about, you've won every event.
Not every yet, but there's quite a few challenges, some of them I won't be able to do, as running 2 kilometres is quite difficult with a prosthetic, but there's a few others that I have been able to win, and that's like an 11-minute plank. I won in that. That was quite difficult, but that was, it was good. We'd win, and up to 35 pull-ups and about 77 push-ups within 2 minutes, and the hang test and stuff. Some of those, I think, upper body ones have been good.
And that's without a prosthesis?
Without a prosthetic.
And that's against 40 able people. Your strong determination, your willingness to just block out pain in the moment.
Yes, that's correct.
Absolutely amazing what you do. What's the future hold for you? You want to leave a legacy. What would you want to be? You're 53 years of age, if I can tell our listeners.
Yep.
What do you want for you and your family?
The legacy I want to leave is to offer hope and courage to those facing difficult challenges in the midst of adversity, and to be inspired to give it a go. Just, be positive and try your best and live each day as it comes, and help others at the same time, because that it's fulfilling to help others. And I always believe there's always someone worse off than yourself. So if you can get out there and do your best and help others, and even just having a general chat with people going through difficult times is always a great effort.
How can our listeners help you today with Jeans for Genes? Would they go to the website? What do they do?
There's a link, Jim, that they can go to, which all proceeds go to Jeans for Genes Day. Our goal is to reach up to $50,000, and hopefully we can achieve that. The link is https://, it's a long one, MJ. 4gfundraiser.raisely.com/BAKOUS-Makari, MAKAI.
Well, we'll put that up on our podcast this afternoon when this gets to the Live 90.5 FM website. So everyone just look at Spotlight Facebook or LinkedIn, and then once we share the podcast, click through and you'll find that link directly where you can support the Genes for Genes and Children's Medical Research Institute with Barker's fundraiser there.
Thanks for being with us. It's been a real privilege for you to be with us today and talk to our listeners. Thank you, Barker.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Darren.
Thank you very much. And just before we finish, just stay with us there, Barker. We have the brain teaser to answer.
Oh, no, not the brain teaser. You know I'm not smart.
What is black when you get it, red when you use it, and white when you are all through with it? Think,
Darren,
about heat and fire. The answer is charcoal. So it's
where
black
do you
when you
get these?
It.
Where do you get these from?
No, they're your sources, actually. It's how we train. That's mental training for us, isn't it?
It is. It is.
We do it every week.
Darren, great to be with you again. Thanks to all our listeners. Thank you to 90.5. And please get behind Jeans for Jeans with Barker Makari. If you're going to buy someone for $100 for Christmas, give them 50 and tell them you put 50 into this. You know, this helps. This doesn't go to Barker or to anyone. It goes to help children. And if you can be part of that journey, please do so. Be safe. Tell someone you love them and help them.
We'll be back next week. Live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Alive 90.5.